Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon me at this time as I attempt to preach your word, and that we could walk out of here, Father, knowing that we've heard from you. We love you, Lord. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and you may have noticed that the choir sang a song taken out of a verse there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Now, I want to give you a little bit of the context and the background so you understand what's going on. If you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Skip down to verse verse number 4. "Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and the king offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God." So the context is this. King Solomon just got done building the temple, and they're having a dedication service. It's the first time that they're going into their temple, kind of like the first time we're going into this building here. And he's praying, and he spends, you can go through and read, you know, the chapters before that, but he's praying and he's asking God's blessing, and he's praying to God. They're sacrificing to God. God in chapter 7 answers his praying by sending fire down and consuming the burnt offering. They're dedicating the house of God. Skip down to verse number 12, same chapter. Look what it says. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night." So that night, the Lord appears to Solomon and said unto him, he gives Solomon a very specific message. Notice what he says. "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And he says, "But Solomon, I want you to understand something. You just got done building a temple." He said, "You just got done having a spiritual victory." He said, "You just got done sacrificing, doing a great sacrifice and hearing from God. And it's a great thing." But he says, "Solomon, the history of Israel and the history of this nation may not always be that of a people that love the Lord God Almighty." And he says, "Solomon, I want you to understand something." Look at verse 13. Now make note of this word. He says, "If." Do you see the word "if" there? He says, "If I," that's the Lord speaking. He says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain." He says, God says, "If I make it so that there's no rain." You say, "Well, what's the big deal with no rain?" Well, you know, in our society, it affects us when there's no rain. But in this society, in agricultural society, no rain coming down meant a recession. You understand what I'm saying? It meant a depression. It was the judgment of God. And God says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain." He says, "Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, so I send locusts to just eat up all of your food." He says, "Or if I send pestilence," the word pestilence means disease, "among my people." Do you see that? He says, "If I start doing these things, Solomon," he said, "I want you to understand, there is a way to fix it." He said, "If the judgment of God comes upon the nation, if I send a depression, if I send a recession, if I send pestilence and disease, if I send my judgment," he says, "Solomon, you need to understand that it doesn't just end there. You don't have to just be done there." He says, "There's something you can do about it." Look at verse 14. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will," I want you to make note of these three words, "heal their land." Amen. You say, this is Old Testament Israel. You got to understand, God is no respecter of persons. If God would look at Israel and say, "I can heal your land, Israel," God would look at any land and say, "I can heal that land." Now, I don't know if you understand this, but America this morning is in great need of healing. Say, "Pastor Jimenez, do you love America?" I love America. I don't know if, did you notice that? I think we like America around here. But you know what? We're not going to allow patriotism to blind us to the fact that America in 2013 is a very sinful nation. Just this week, the Supreme Court of the United States of America pretty much legalized what they refer to as same-sex marriage in California. I don't know if you're aware of that. And you know, people say, just even mentioning that, some of you are sitting in your seats going, we shouldn't be talking about that. That's not politically correct. Let me tell you something. The reason that you feel that way is because pastors are refusing to talk about that subject. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about what God, you know, how God feels about sodomy or homosexuality or same-sex marriage. And you know, most people today, they think, well, you shouldn't talk about that. You shouldn't say anything about that. You shouldn't. Look, the Bible tells us that we are to preach the word. It says, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. He says, look, whether it's popular or not, whether people like it or not, whether it's in season or out of season. Do you understand what that terminology means? Some of you ladies know what that means. Whether it's in style or out of style, whether people like it or not, whether the Supreme Court says it's normal or not, the Bible says preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Amen. You say, well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, let's look at it. You can keep your finger there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the verse that we're going to be in for this morning. But go with me just real quickly to Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus chapter number 18. You've got to understand this. At Verity Baptist Church, we are Bible-believing Christians. What that means is the Bible is the authority. The Bible is the boss. Society's not the boss. Culture is not the boss. The government's not the boss. The Word of God is the boss. The Bible says we have to obey God rather than man. And you say, well, I'm not too sure. What does the Bible say about sodomy? What does the Bible say about the sodomite movement today? Are you there in Leviticus chapter number 18? You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book in the Bible, Leviticus chapter number 18. Look at verse number 22. Leviticus chapter number 18. Look at verse number 22. Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. He says, you should not lie with a man. He's talking to men. In the same way that you would lie with a woman. Notice what he says. It is abomination. Right. In the Bible, the word abomination is used to describe the worst of sin, of sins. Look at verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. You need to understand this. And I'm not trying to be vulgar this morning. I'm reading from the Bible. But if you think it's disgusting for a human being to lie with an animal, God says it's as disgusting for a man to lie with another man. Or a woman to lie with another woman. Look at this, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And that's exactly what it is. You're there in Leviticus 18, go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Look at verse number 13. Leviticus chapter number 20, look at verse 13. Look what the Bible says. Leviticus 20, 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, look what it says. I want you to see this with your eyes. Both of them have committed an abomination. Look what God says about it. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Do you realize that God put the death penalty upon sodomy? You say, well, Pastor Jimenez, are you saying we ought to kill sodomites? I didn't say that at all. We don't live in Old Testament Israel. We don't follow the Old Testament law. If we did, we'd be a much godlier nation. I'll tell you that right now. We don't live in that nation. I'm not advocating that. I'm just letting you know. This is how God feels about it. And some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, I grew up in church my whole life. And I went to church and the pastor told me that we're supposed to, you know, accept them and bring them in and be nice to them. And they're just a little different. Look, God says it is an abomination. God says it is confusion. God says, He says there's no hope for it. In His society that God was ruling, when He made the laws, He says there's no hope for it. He said just put them to death. That's what He said. Now some of you are thinking, well, that's the Old Testament. You dispensationalist. That's the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, it's different. Well, let me tell you something. God is the same, always. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, that's the Old Testament, and I don't think we're supposed to believe that in the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Are you there in the New Testament? Romans chapter number 1. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you got the book of Romans. Are you with me? Look, it's going to be a long service if you're not with me right now. You got to stick with these verses. Romans chapter number 1. Say, Pastor, why are you preaching this? It's 4th. Do you think we're going to feed you hot dogs and hot links without making you earn it? Hey, we'll bring you in, but you're going to have to earn it. You know what I mean? Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Are you there? Romans chapter 1, you say, I can't believe, look, this is the Bible, this is the Word of God, and this is what our society needs. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 21, Romans 1:21. The Bible says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That is the best verse to describe our society today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like of corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Does that sound like America in 2013? Who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave, he says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their, here's the key word, natural. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Man. Say, well, that's the Old Testament. I think the book of Romans is pretty New Testament. I mean, are we in the New Testament or not? Look at verse 32. Look what it says. Who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things, what things? Men with men, women with women. That they which commit such things are worthy of, what's that say? Is that New Testament or what? But here's what I think is interesting. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God says, not only are they worthy of death that do those things, but He said the people that take pleasure in those things. You know when you're watching your TV and you're laughing at the sodomite? Oh, he's so flamboyant. He's so funny. You know, the sodomite on TV, they always got the token sodomite, and you're laughing at him, you think it's funny, you're entertained by it. God says there's nothing funny about that. God says it's disgusting. God says it's confusion. God says it's abomination. You say, well, why are you preaching that? Somebody's got to stand up for the truth in 2013 when our nation thinks it's normal for men to go out and for a pastor to take a Bible and to marry a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. Let me tell you something. Our kids are going to get ruined if somebody doesn't stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. That's a sin. The Bible says it's abomination. It's wrong. America needs healing. Put it out there. This week, the Supreme Court legalized it. This week, the Supreme Court said it's normal. This week, the Supreme Court said, you're a radical. You're insane. You're crazy if you think that it's wrong to stand up and say that sodomy is a sin. But the Bible says it's an abomination. I don't know if you understand it this morning, but America is in trouble. Not only are we in trouble because we condone sodomy, go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. If you open up your Bible just smack down in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. I want to give you two examples this morning because it's very clear what the Bible says about this. America's in trouble because it's condoning sodomy. But let me tell you something. America's in trouble because it's condoning abortions this morning. Now let me just say this. If you've had an abortion, you say, what do I do, Pastor? Ask God to forgive you and don't ever have one again. That's simple. Let me tell you something. We got to stand up for this. Are you there in Psalm 139? Look at verse number 14. Psalm 139, 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I don't know if you're following what the psalmist is saying here. But he's saying, look, before I was ever even formed, he said, before I even had members or body parts, he said, God was working on me. He said, God knew me. Go to Jeremiah real quickly. Jeremiah is one of those major prophets. You've got Isaiah, and then you've got the book of Jeremiah towards the end of the Old Testament there. You've got those big books, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And if you get to Ezekiel, you went a little too far. Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Do you know that in America today, over 3,000 children are aborted every day? Do you know that in New York City, 1 in 4 women have had an abortion? 25% of women have had an abortion in the most major city in America. You say, well, you know, the doctor tells us that it's just a blob. The government tells us that it's not a human. The government tells us that it's okay. You're not taking a life. It's not a human being. Well, what does the Bible say? Are you there in Jeremiah? Look at chapter verse number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah, the prophet. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, notice what God said to Jeremiah the prophet, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Okay.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God said to Jeremiah, before you were ever born, before you were ever created, before you ever existed, He said, I knew you. He said, I had a plan for you. He said, I'd ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. And I'm here to tell you, today, when over 3,000 children are being murdered every day in the United States of America, I wonder how many of them were supposed to be the prophet that brought the Word of God to this nation.
Right.
I wonder how many of them were supposed to be the man that went up and preached the gospel, and how many were supposed to be the pastors that stood up and stood against the filth of our society today. And they're being killed. They're being murdered. It is murder to abort a child. God said, before I formed thee, He said, before you came out of the womb, He said, I knew thee. He said, I had a plan for you. He said, I loved you, Jeremiah. I don't know if you understand this. America is in trouble this morning. We are giving ourselves over to the worst sins. And you've got to say, you say, well, why does this matter, Pastor Jimenez? Why does it matter? You know, let them do what they want to get married. They want to be happy. Let them do it. Women want to abort their children so they could run around like some whore. That's what the Bible says. I don't like that word. Read your Bible. It's a Bible word. Say, well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. First book in the Bible, should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter number 18, look at verse 20. Genesis chapter number 18, look at verse 20. Genesis 18:20, the Bible says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, are you familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah? That's where we get our term Sodomites from. This is what God said. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Notice, a city, a nation, there was a king to Sodom. A people are being judged. And what is the one thing that prevails in the city of Sodom? Homosexuality. He said, a society that has allowed that filth to go on, a society that has not preached against it, a society that has not checked it, a society that has not stood against it, he said, because their sin is very grievous, verse 21, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now notice what Abraham says, verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy? You see the word destroy there? Say, well, what was God going to do with Sodom? Destroy it. What was God going to do with Sodom? Punish it? Judge it? Get rid of it? He said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So you got to understand, there are sins, and every sin is grievous, but there are certain sins that God will judge a nation for. And one of those sins is sodomy. Let me show you the other one. Keep your finger there in Genesis 18. We're coming back to it, alright? Keep your finger there in Genesis 18. Go to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Say, we're looking at way too many verses this morning. I thought that's why you came to church. I thought that's what we were here for. 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21. Look at verse number 16. 2 Kings 21. Here we find a king named Manasseh. And I want you to see what the Bible says about Manasseh. Verse 16. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much." Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. Let me ask you something. What's more innocent than a baby in the womb? Look what it says. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much." And by the way, the reference that the Bible is referring to is the fact in their society they were having babies and sacrificing the baby to false gods. They were murdering babies. You say, well, they were murdering them after they were in the womb. According to Jeremiah, before you're in the womb, after you're in the womb, it doesn't matter. You are a human being. Look what it says, verse 16. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sins wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now go to chapter 24. Chapter number 24. 2 Kings chapter 24. Look at verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 3. Look at what the Bible says. "Surely, at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood." Notice this. "Which the Lord would not pardon." You see that? God says, "I will not forgive Manasseh." He said, "I will not forgive the shedding of innocent blood." And let me tell you something. As we murder over 3,000 children every day in the United States of America, I wonder if God is looking at the United States of America saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to pardon that. I'm not going to let you get away with that." Look, He destroyed Sodom for their sodomy. He destroyed Manasseh for the shedding of blood. You think America's going to continue to be the nation that it is, the great nation that it was once? I love singing those songs. You know, people, the president stands up and says, "America has never been a Christian nation." Oh, really? When you sing the Star Spangled Banner and it says, you know, "And this is our motto, and God is our trust." When you sing about the hand rescued land, faith of our fathers, the blessing of America has not came upon this nation because we are smarter than other nations, because we got more technology or more resources. The blessing of America in the past came because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And there was the Spirit of the Lord on this country. And we haven't been a perfect nation, but we have been a nation where the Word has been preached, where the Bible has been preached, where soul winning has gone out. But we're quickly getting away from that. You think we're going to continue on? You think we're going to be able to give to our children the same freedoms that were given to us if we don't stand up for the things that the Bible says? The judgment of God is coming upon America. Now here's what you got to understand. Between 2 Kings chapter 21, when Manasseh shed the innocent blood, and 2 Kings chapter 24, when God judged the nation because of Manasseh's shedding of blood, 4 kings had passed and 102 years. You say, well, why did it last so long? Here's what you need to understand. Keep your finger there in 2 Kings, right? So you got your index in Genesis, all right? You got a thumb in 2 Kings, put a toe in 2 Chronicles. Okay, go back to 2 Chronicles. Go back to 2 Chronicles. You're there in 2 Kings, go to the right. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Pastor, you're pretty upset about this sodomy thing, and you're pretty upset about this abortion thing, and you're pretty upset about this sin thing. Yeah, I think we all should. I think we all ought to be upset about it. Yeah. But before you start forming your vigilante group, Before you start forming your, you know, getting out your little signs, you can go protest. Before you start going, you know, let's go protest the Supreme Court and let's go. Let me tell you something. The Bible is very clear as to who is to blame for the destruction of nations. And God may judge a nation because of sodomy. And God may judge a nation because of abortion. But if a nation is judged, there is one group to blame. Look what the Bible says. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If the sodomites, is that what it says? If the Hollywood whoremongers, is that what it says? If the abortion clinics, is that what it says? Let's read those three words together. If my people. Where does the blame lie? God's people. Look what he says. If my people, which are called by my name. You don't have to turn there, but Acts 11:26 tells us, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Are you a Christian this morning? I hope you are.
Amen.
You say, I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord for that. I'm a Jesus Christ, Ian. I am called by thy name of my God. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name. It's interesting that God says, I'm not worried about the Manassehs of this world. He said, I'm not worried about the Sodomites. I'm not worried about the Supreme Court. Let me tell you something. We get so upset at the world for acting like the world. Unbelievers are going to act like unbelievers. Do you understand that? Sinners are going to act like sinners. Do you understand that? The world is going to act like the world. The problem is when God's people act like the world. When God's people act like the sinners.
Amen.
When God's people act like those that are going to hell. Do you look at what it says? If my people, which are called by my name. Here's what you need to understand. God will judge a nation because of the sin of that nation. But what America needs this morning is Christians. Is the righteous. Go with me. Did you keep your finger there in Genesis? Go back to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Pastor, are you preaching or are we doing a Bible study? I don't know the difference. Good preaching ought to be good Bible study. Good Bible study ought to be good preaching. Is this an expository? I don't know. It's the Word of God. That's what it is. Are you there in Genesis 18? I want you to see this. Look at verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now look, was Sodom a wicked place? Was Sodom, according to the Bible, a disgusting place? Was Sodom a place where sodomy abounded? Was it was disgusting? It was an abomination? The Christians, the believers, the righteous people that were in that nation, they were just losers. Lot was a worthless Christian. Could not lead his family. Abraham says, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now here's what's interesting. I love this passage because Abraham begins to make a deal with God. He's bargaining with God. Look at verse 24. Peradventure. The word peradventure means perhaps. He said, what if, God, there be 50 righteous within the city? Now here's what's interesting. You've got an entire city of disgusting, abominable sin. And Abraham says, if I could find 50 saved, 50 believers, 50 righteous people. Now look, I don't know how many people we have in church this morning. I'll get the count at some point, unless you got it? 56. We got more than 50 people right here. Look what he says. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. He said, if I could gather 50 people that are within the city, he said, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place? Do you see that? He said, not spare the place, the city, for the 50 righteous that are therein. Now look, we're against sodomy. We're against homosexuality. I think we've made that clear. But do you understand that Abraham just said to God, would you spare every sodomite in Sodom if I could find 50 righteous people? And God says, no, it's over. No, it's done. We're never going to do that. What does God say? Look at verse 25. That be far from me to do after this matter. To slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. And be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? This is Abraham speaking to God. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Pastor, America's in trouble. Really? If we found 50 righteous people, we might be okay. America, God's going to destroy America. If we had 50 righteous people, if you spare Sodom, what was the problem? Look at verse 27. Abraham started to think about this and he said, well, you know, this might be a little difficult. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He said, listen, God, I'm dust and ashes. I'm just a human being. I didn't really think this through. Let me put in another deal. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50. I like that. 50 righteous, God. If I can buy 50 righteous, would you spare the nation? And God says, yeah, I'll spare. I'll spell Sodom for 50. And then Abraham thinks about it. He says, well, listen, what if I get 45? I like this. Look at verse 28. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. This is Abraham speaking. And I will speak, spare adventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, this is what God said, I will not do it. He said, I will not destroy Sodom. I will forgive their sin if I find 30 there. In verse 31. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. This is Abraham speaking. And I will speak yet but this once. Abraham says, okay, this is my last one, God. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. He said, God, if I can find 10 righteous people. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord, I like this, went his way. This is what God is saying. We're done, Abraham. Find 10 people. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto this place. Just gather yourself around this. Say, Pastor, are you an independent fundamental Baptist? Look, I am an independent fundamental Baptist. I am a biblicist. I am a Bible-believing preaching. Pastor, if you want to find a radical Christianity, look no further. You have found it. But let me tell you something. This mentality that we have in America, that let God destroy America, and let God destroy the Sodomites, and let God destroy San Francisco, and let burn it down because of it. That is not the spirit that Abraham had.
That's right.
Amen. Abraham said, listen, if I can find 10 righteous, if I can find 10 believers, if I can find one family of believers, God, will you spare the nation? He wasn't giving up on America. He wasn't giving up on Sodom. He wasn't even from Sodom. He said, would you spare Sodom if we could find 10 people? If we could get 10 saved? And if Lot would have just got his family saved, there would have been 10. And God said, I'll do it. I'll spare it. He said, 10 people, I'll spare it. I'm wondering, what's the number for America? How many righteous people do we need in America before we fall below that number? God says, we're done. Because if you read the next chapters, Sodom is destroyed. You got to understand, the judgment of God comes upon nations because of the world's sin. But if judgment comes upon a nation, let's go picket the Sodomites, and let's go picket the abortion clinics, and let's go picket the government, and let's go picket the White House. Look in the mirror, it's your fault, Christian. If America is destroyed, it's the Sodomites. No, it's you. If my people, it's me. If my people, which are called by my name.
Sir.
Pastor, it's done. We can't save America. There's no hope for America. The hope of America is found in Bible-believing Christians. The hope for America, you say, are you giving up on America? I haven't been giving up on America. Look, I've got children. I've got kids. One day I'll have grandkids. I want to keep them the liberties and the freedoms that were afforded to me. I want them to be able to go knock on doors, preach the gospel. I want them to be able to open their mouth and preach like I'm preaching today.
Amen.
I want them to have freedom of speech. I want them to have freedom of assembly. I want them to have freedom of religion. You say, America's so horrible. America's so bad. America's so this. Where do you want to go?
Mm.
prison for preaching, if the sermon I'm preaching right now would have been thrown in prison in Canada. To Europe? That's worse down the line in communism and socialism than America is? To Iraq? To Afghanistan? Is that where you want to go? America's got its issues and America's got its problems, but America is still the freest nation on earth. And if anybody's going to be able to save a nation, it'll be us. But why are we giving up on it? Why are we done on it? Why don't we go out and preach the gospel and get people saved? Why don't we fight 10 righteous people? That's what we need in America today. We don't need to give up on our country. We need to fight for our country. It's done deal. The Supreme Court, throw them out. You can't throw out the Supreme Court. I understand how the Supreme Court works. Let them die. Elect another president. Amen. Do what you got to do. Let's not have this fatalist mentality. Hey, I don't know about you, but my God is as powerful today as He was in 1776.
That's right.
The God of the Bible is the same God today as it was when the Constitution was drafted, as it was the good old days of the 20s. It's the same God. It's the same Bible. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Word of God. And the same Bible-believing preaching will save this America that blessed that America.
Amen.
And that's what we need. You gotta understand, the hope for America is found in this room right now. In Bible-believing Christians. You don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel 22:30, God said, "And I sought for a man among them." God said, "I'm looking for someone." He said, do you understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want people to die and go to hell. God's looking for an excuse to bless a nation. Remember the story of Jonah? God was willing to bless Nineveh. God was willing to use a backslidden, complaining, lazy preacher of Jonah. He says, "I'll take whoever I can get." Listen to me. God doesn't... America will be destroyed one day. But can we hold back the judgment of God? Can I hand off to my children freedoms? Can I hand off to them a King James Bible? Can I hand to them... I know it's bad. The NSA came out. They're recording our phone calls. The IRS comes out targeting Christians, conservatives. I know it's bad. I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm just saying, why don't you grab you a Bible and let's go fight the fight? Why don't we go out and preach the Bible? Why don't we say, "Well, there's not 50 righteous people. Let's go get 50 righteous people." "Well, there's not 50 saved individuals. Well, you can come out with us on Saturday and start preaching the gospel."
Amen.
The hope for America is found in churches that are not giving up, but saying, "Hey." You say, "Well, Pastor, if we're the hope, remember, if my people..." Go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're almost done. Now, you know what that means.
Yeah.
We're almost done is a very relative term. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We're closer to the end than we were when we started. Some of you, that assures you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, look what it says. "If my people, which are called by my name..." Say, "Pastor Jimenez, what do we need to do?" Very simple, look what it says. Number one. And by the way, all that was introduction. Here's the sermon. What do we do, Pastor? It's 4th of July this week. Independence Day. God bless America. Okay, what do we do? Look what he says. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." Now look, that's very easy to just read that and move on. Keep your finger there. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you don't mind. You know, the main reason that America will be destroyed is because of the pride of Christianity today. You know what the word pride means? It means to think very highly of yourself. Pride is to be a person. You ever met someone? They're never wrong. They're always right. You can't ever tell them anything. You can't, you know. It's always got to be their way.
don't you think that doing a good...
No, it's just, it's what I said, it's how I said it.
That's a very prideful attitude. Well, I never get to the place, look, never get to the place where you can't learn. I say this to people all the time. I'm the pastor of Verity Baptist Church. If you can teach me something from the Word of God, I'm not pretending that I know everything about the Bible. Nobody does. I'm willing to learn as well. We all ought to be willing to learn. We all ought to humble ourselves and not think so highly of ourselves. Are you there in Proverbs 11? Let's look. We got to do this quickly. The hot dogs are burning, so we got to do this fast. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 2. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. It's a shameful state we're in right now. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with lowly, okay, that's talking about being humble, talking about lowering yourself, is what? Wisdom. Go to Proverbs 13. Look at verse 10. Proverbs 13, look at verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Go to Proverbs 15, look at verse 25. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border of the widow. A widow would be very humble because she's in need. Go to Proverbs 16, look at verse 5. Everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination. Sodomy is so disgusting. So is pride. God uses the same word to describe him. Everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Go to verse 18, same chapter. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be for an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. America's a proud nation. Yeah, but Christians are proud people. People come to church week in, week out, year after year. They come to church, they hear the Bible being preached, and they leave every service the same. And the Bible corrects you. The Bible rebukes you. And by the way, I said the Bible corrects you. The Bible rebukes you. You walk out of here saying, I can't believe what the pastor said. Everything I said came straight out of this book. If you don't like it, take it up with God. Amen. I didn't write the Bible. If I would have wrote the Bible, trust me, it would not be this. If I would have wrote the Bible, it would have been like, short people are great. Everything's fine. Sleep all day. That's what I would have wrote. We're proud people when we can't be corrected. We're proud people when we can't let the Word of God change us. It's interesting to me that God says, if my people, which are called by my name, He says, the number one thing I need you to do is to humble yourself. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 in the New Testament. James, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 4, look at verse 6. James chapter number 4, look at verse 6. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's the verse I wanted to go to next, but that's not the verse I wanted right now. That's a good verse though. Amen. Look at verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, look what it says. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You ever get to a place where you think, man, I feel like everything I do, like God's just resisting me. God won't bless me. God won't help me. It feels like I'm always fighting with God. Maybe it's a pride issue. Because God resisteth the proud. Go to 2 Peter. You're there in James. Just the next book in the Bible is 1 Peter. Then you got 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 5. 2 Peter chapter number 5. 2 Peter chapter number 5. Good night. There's not a chapter 5 in 2 Peter. Let's try 1 Peter. 1 Peter. But you know I'm a very proud person. I never make mistakes. I tell people all the time, look, I am humble and I am very proud of it. 1 Peter chapter 5. I think that's what we wanted. Look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So what does America need? We need more legislation. No, we need Christians to humble themselves.
Amen.
We need believers to humble themselves. But notice what he says. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and then he says this, and pray, and seek my face. He says, I need Christians to humble themselves. Go to John 15. We got to move quickly. I lost your attention like 10 minutes ago. We got to finish this up. John 15. Y'all grow up watching TV, and if you don't have a commercial break, you know what I mean? It doesn't help. John 15. Look at verse 7. John 15. Verse 7. John 15, 7. God says, I want you to humble yourself. But he says, I want you to pray. And he said, I want you to seek my face. This is what he's saying. I want you to have a relationship with me. See, many Christians today are saved. But very few of us actually have a walk with God. To seek God's face is to seek a relationship with God. To pray is to communicate with God. God says what America needs is Christians that are humble and Christians that are walking with God. Are you there in John 15? Look at verse number 4. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. God says, you're the branch, I'm the vine. Think of a tree. A tree has limbs. That limb cannot survive unless it's being nourished from that trunk. He said, your Christianity is the same way. If you are not connected in Jesus Christ, if you are not abiding in Jesus Christ, you cannot abide alone. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. I'm sorry, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How much can we do without him? Nothing. How much can we... Well, I think we're going to be able to accomplish... I think we're going to turn the tide. I think we're going to see revival. I think we're going to see many people saved. Many people baptized. We will do nothing if we don't abide in Christ.
Amen.
Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me... He is cast forth as a branch is withered, and men gather themselves and cast them into fire, and they are burned. The problem with America, you say it's like economized, it's Christians that have withered lives because they're not in tune with the Savior. So we ought to abide in Christ. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then he says this, and turn from their wicked ways. What's the hope for America, Pastor? Christians that get right with God. What's the hope for America, Pastor? Christians that stop watching filth on their televisions. What's the hope for... The Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The Bible says that if your eye be evil, your whole body will be evil. And you think we're going to be able to reach this community, and you think we're going to be able to turn the tide, and you think we're going to be able to make a difference in America today when the average Christian is spending 3 hours a day watching the television, watching the filth of this world. You say, well, no, I don't think it's that bad. Every show shows fornication. Every show shows alcohol. Every show has sodomites on it. Every show has filth on it. You ought to just realize that if we're going to make a difference, we got to realize that we got to turn from our wicked ways.
Right.
Today the divorce rate among Christians is the same as among the world. And we think we're going to make a difference? You understand this? You got to be different to make a difference. What are we trying to win the world to? We're just like them. We look like them. We act like them. We play their music. We use their words. We have the same attitude. We have the same pride. We need to get back to God. I don't know if it affects you, but when I heard that the news this week, and I heard that in California, in less than 30 days, men and men will be able to get married. My heart broke for my country. And I realized we got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to the Word of God. You say, I don't like this type of preaching. This is what
playing church and we're playing games and we come to church and we put on our tie and we put on our nice dress clothes and we check it off and say, well, I was in church this week. Were you with God this week? That's what we need. That's what we need. Today Christians fornicate like the world does. Today Christians drink like the world does. Today Christians are on drugs like the world's on drugs. Today Christians are proud like the world's proud. And we think we're going to make a difference. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're done right here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pastor Jimenez, are you done with America? Are you anti-American? I'm anti-American government. I'm pro-America. Is there any hope for America? Is there hope in God? Is there any hope in America? Is there hope in the promises of God? Can I show you a promise of God? Look what it says. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Are you there? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if you do these things, look what God says. He says then. You see that if and then relationship? He says, if you do this, humble yourself. If you do this, pray. If you do this, seek my face. If you do this, turn from your wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from him. He says, I will do it. He says, it's a sure thing. He says, his promise, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. America needs healing, 2013. We ought to go do this, and we ought to go do that, we ought to go lobby these people, we need to get back to the Word of God, we need to get back on our knees praying, we need to get the filth out of our lives, we need to go preach the gospel. We got 50 righteous people right here. We can make a difference right here. My question for you is this. Do you love America? I don't know. Maybe you don't. But if you love America, would you live your life in a way that you might say, could I hold back the judgment of God? Just one more generation. Could I hold back the judgment of God so my children aren't taken away? Could I hold back the judgment of God so I could teach my kids the Bible? So I could teach my kids to love God? So I could teach my children to walk with God. So we could reach this community here in Sacramento. I don't know what other churches are doing in other places, but I know this. In Sacramento, California, we're going to do the best we can to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to water down the message. We're not going to water down the Word of God. We're going to stand against sin. We're going to stand against filth. We're going to preach what the Bible says. And by the grace of God, maybe, just maybe, God will look down from heaven and say, I was ready to destroy America. I sought for a man among them. And then I saw Mary Baptist. And I saw 56 righteous people gathered together on June 30th, 2013. And he said, I'll hold back my judgment. Let's see what they can do. If my people. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. Father, we do not preach sermons like this for shock value. We do not preach sermons like this to offend. We preach sermons like this that our hearts may get right with you. Lord, I pray that you would please help us. Father, I pray that you would please help us to get on our knees and get on our faces, to get up early in the morning and spend time with you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get the sin out of our lives. Lord, if America is destroyed, it'll be the fault of your people. Father, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd be with us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to turn the tide. We may be losing the battle politically, but help us not to lose the battle spiritually. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.